probably ask you where you get this money from. Money.
Hi, and welcome to the Men on the Path to Love podcast. Bonus episode, Money Talk in Relationship, a conversation with the financial coach. I'm Bill Simpson, your host. I coach men who are struggling in relationship, how to communicate effectively, build trust, and deepen intimacy so they can be the best version of themselves in relationship and live the life they love. In this bonus episode, you'll hear my conversation with financial coach and host of the podcast Money Talk, Skylar Fleming. We'll talk about the importance of having that money talk in your relationship and more. It's all coming up on this bonus episode of the Men on the Path to Love podcast. Welcome, Skylar, to Men on the Path to Love.
Hi, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, man. Money's a big issue when it comes to relationships, and we're going to dig into that in a little bit. My show, there's a lot of storytelling going on in my show, and I'd like for you to start us off with your story and how you became impassioned about money and to be the financial coach that you are.
Yeah, I became passionate about money because I was working in a credit union. Mm-hmm. I was a tier two supervisor, so I was taking the really, really angry calls. And I found most of the time that those calls were simply because someone didn't tell someone something. Someone didn't like explain it a little bit clearer, or it was just a simple conversation is all that needed to be had. And that really drove me to say, hey, we need to be talking about this more. We need to sit down, go through the basics, because that's where a lot of the education lies, and then just have conversations with people. So that led me to say, let me host a podcast where I can talk to people, learn how they handle money and things like that. And it drove me to help people with their money wherever I could, even after I left that job.
Cool. Well, you know, there's always a story, and it's good to know the story behind what you're doing. You know, it's interesting that we're having this conversation because yesterday I was talking with one of my female clients, and she said, you know, she and her husband get along great. You know, they've been together for like 20 years or whatever. And yet she said the number one thing that we argue about is money.
That's pretty common.
Yeah. And her big thing is she's a saver and he hates saving. I'm like, you hate saving? Well, I don't know if anybody really loves saving, but there's a reason for it. And I don't know what you would say to a couple that's going through that, because that's probably deeper than the whole money issue. But I'm sure you've found all kinds of stories with, you know, some of the couples maybe that you've worked with. Mm-hmm. What have you found to be the best financial strategies when it comes to either a married couple or, say, you know, a couple that's in a long-term committed relationship?
Yeah, you got to just have the conversation. You got to acknowledge it'll be a little awkward at first. Something I like to share is my wife and I, when we first started really diving into our finances, I had the assumption that, of course, my way is going to be right. Like, I'm a numbers guy. Like, the math makes sense. But for my wife, it was important for her to still have an account of her own right after we got married, even though we were doing things together. She wanted to make sure she still had a card in her name and some money in account with her name. And I wasn't worried she was going to leave me after 3 months or something like that. And that's why she wanted the money separate. But once we got to the point where I realized, hey, that's important for her to feel an amount of security, that's where things really unlocked and took off for us. And without having even just those initial conversations and saying, hey, it's okay that we're crying about money, like that happens for everybody, that's when you can begin to break through and have the more comfortable and fun and exciting conversation. So you just got to get started and realize it's going to kind of sting right at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, and I would think that prior to getting married or being in this long-term relationship, you'd talk about money, right?
You'd hope so. So many people, honestly, I was listening to a podcast the other day and the person was like, I want to go to marriages or weddings and object if they haven't talked about money yet, like stand up in the middle of it and say, have you talked about money at all? And that's because it's so important. You need to know what you're bringing to the table, because if one person's bringing $100,000 of student loan debt and you don't disclose that, that's going to be a bombshell just waiting to go off.
Sure. And once you're married, it's both of yours debt, right? You know, for the
most part. It should be. If you bring it in without saying anything, that's when you can begin to feel that separation of like, oh, well, that's your debt because you didn't tell me about it. Like, I don't know if we would have gone this far if I'd have known about that, which is crazy to think. But that sort of stuff is what can cause marriage to be such a big issue in finances, is just those undisclosed things, small or big.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say is the biggest thing that you find that couples struggle with when it comes to money?
Yeah, I think it's like you said, the saving versus spending balance. It's pretty common that one person's a saver, one person's a spender, and neither really know how to give to each other. Like, you don't know how to say, oh, yeah, it's okay that you spent, or it's okay that we're saving more than I think we need to. Like, there is a balance there. I think that's pretty common. And I think my wife and I have found a good balance between that because, like, she does tend to want to spend more, and I want to put everything into our IRA or whatever account it might be. For us, and something I recommend is have an amount of money that you're comfortable with each person spending without asking. And for us, that's a Skylar fund and a Rebecca fund. My wife's name is Rebecca. She has her fund that she can spend out of, and there's no questions asked. It might be a little bit of like, that was maybe a little expensive, and she knows that, but it's okay. Like, she knows I'm not going to come down with a heavy hammer and say, you got to return everything you just bought, because that money's hers to spend. And now we have regular discussions for me about how much we're investing. And I try to push the envelope, but us having those conversations keeps me from just putting more money into an investing account that she maybe doesn't know about, which is something that you'd think people are okay with saying, oh, yeah, I was hiding all this investing from you. But that can even still be just as dangerous as hiding spending from somebody because you don't know what each other's doing with your money.
Right. And then the issue of trust gets in the way.
Like,
I
what
don't,
else are you doing? Yeah.
even if you just saved $100,000, it's
Yeah,
still,
your
it's that.
investments went way up, but you still feel that like break of the trust.
Right. Exactly. I've been in, previous marriage where, I was pretty much the one that controlled the money. I was the breadwinner for the most part, making really good money, and left all the finances to me. And so we were kind of separate, and it worked that way. And then I learned later on, and the way my wife and I do it is that we do the budget, and whatever is left over, we have, and that includes savings, not being left over, but savings is a part of the plan. Then what's left over, then we have a certain amount of money that we're allowed to spend on our own without telling each other. So it's kind of like what you and Rebecca do, is you that way there's some autonomy there, and then if it's a major purchase over whatever that amount is, then we both talk about it.
Yeah, and that number can change rather quickly. Like, my wife and I have been married for 3.5 years, and that number when we first got married was a lot smaller than it is now, which is good, and we're doing well, but that number could also come down. So I guess be willing to adjust in what you're doing. Like, maybe you're saying, okay, you can spend $100 without bringing it up, and I can spend $100 without bringing it up. Make sure it's a two-way street, because if you're the money person and you're telling your spouse, he or she, that they can only spend $100, but then you're not putting that same criteria on yourself. That's where there can become some real like erosion in that money conversation, and it's not going to be as free flowing as it needs to be.
Yeah, and that just, it affects the balance of the relationship there, kind of like a power dynamic,
Because if the money person's just saying, oh, you can spend $100 without telling me, but I know what's going on in our finances, so I'm going to spend what I know is okay because I know we can spend more. That's not okay. You need to have the same balance either way. And you even honestly, if you're so in control of your finances that this other spouse doesn't know what's going on, that's also probably going to be the beginning of a problem. You need to both be aware of what's happening in your finances.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about your livelihood here, and to be covert about it could definitely lead into other relationship problems. What other examples have you found with couples that they struggle with?
I've seen a lot of the not talking about it. One person knows what's going on, the other doesn't, and then the other feels out of control. Other issues with spouses, I would say feeling like it is all good and rainbows and sunshine, and not being honest about maybe you are in a hard financial situation and you need to tighten things up. Because it's likely if neither of you are paying much attention to it, one of you probably knows a little bit more that you're in a rough spot. And breaking through that conversation can be really difficult because you might be living a comfortable life. And you realize that you can't eat out anymore. Like, something as strict as you need to cut something cold turkey because you're going really quickly in the wrong direction. So breaking through that initial very hard conversation of we need to change our life quickly or else things are going to be way worse. Like, we're doing okay because we have some room on the credit cards, but once those max out, that's it. Like, you need to deploy those brakes before you get to that point, and that can be difficult.
Yeah, and how are you going to pay those credit cards back? Or
Yeah,
off.
like, you got to figure something out quickly or else things are going to start spiraling super fast. And one little, I like to say an emergency fund makes emergencies minor inconveniences, but if you're in a situation where those credit card debts are piling up and one little emergency happens, then it's this massive thing, like a deflated tire, and you have to buy a kit or something, or buy a used tire at the store to replace it temporarily. That can turn into a huge thing when it probably shouldn't, because it was only $100 or something like that. But yeah.
Yeah, like it could have been prevented at some level too. Yeah.
Yeah, it could have been prevented with some regular car maintenance, but you don't have enough money to maintain your car regularly, so you gotta stay on top of that. But you can see how things can compound and progress in the wrong direction very quickly when you're teetering on the edge of that hard conversation and not wanting to have it.
This came up a little bit ago when you were saying about having separate accounts, like your wife wanted that at the beginning and all that. I see that a lot in with the couples, and it boggles my mind how you can do that. To me, we put it all in one pot. Like, look, if we get divorced, it's all in one pot. Either way, it's either my debt, your debt, it's the same. What do you say to couples that keep their finances totally separate?
I am very much on the side of it needs to be a joint account. It needs to all be in one place, because that's how you're living your life, right? Whether your money's separate or not, you're paying for things together. And I think it just leads to a rocky relationship where you're saying, "Oh, I paid for dinner last night. It's your turn to pay for dinner." It's almost going to separate you naturally because you're thinking that way. My wife and I will joke that it's like, "Oh, you pay for dinner tonight," when we know it's all coming out of the same place. Like, I'm taking her on a date night, but it's all coming from the same place. But if it's not, you do run the risk of, what if there's maybe 5 times in a row where you pay and the spouse doesn't? And then you feel a little bit of resentment towards that. Like, it can be simple little things that I think keeping your finances separate, it just introduces this tiny little back of your mind issue that when it comes up, it could be really drastic and big that you didn't quite realize what was going to happen. So I always steer people towards join your finances. It's honestly just easier. There might be some hiccups in the beginning where you're like, "Oh, you're bringing more into this account than I am." But once it's all in there, then you can see, "Oh, we have this amount instead of I have this amount, you have this amount." It just feels so much more complete and together, and you feel so much more secure, I guess, in your finances because you're on the same path.
Yeah, it makes me think too about my own situation and other couples I've seen where one of the spouses or partners is making considerably more than the other, and where is the equity there? And I know I went through that the previous marriage, and I remember getting divorced, and I was like, "Well, no, that's all mine." But then, the lawyer says, "No, it's not all yours. It's both of yours." So that was, my epiphany of, okay, well, we got to do it together because you might as well. What do you say to couples that there's a big disparity in income like that?
Yeah, that's one that's really interesting. Even for my wife and I right now, we're dealing with this because she's in PA school to become a physician assistant. And so that means right now I'm the only one working. So, like, we joke because we're in a good place with our finances that I pay for everything and she's just studying and stuff, which is true. And it's okay because we have that foundation there, but it's quickly going to switch to her making more money than me. Like, when she starts a job as a PA, they make a good salary, and then it's going to flip on the other side. And I think without having the foundation of regular money conversations, that could be really tough. And especially because I think maybe there's a stereotype of men being the breadwinner and making the more money. So if, like, you're in a situation where maybe your wife's making more money, that could be difficult, maybe for the wrong reasons or something like that. But, like, it could be. And that's something I think we need to be aware of, that if we're not talking about it, like, "Hey, how are you going to feel if I make more money than you?" That could be a really, maybe that'll raise a red flag. Like, if you're dating and haven't talked about money, and either spouse, male or female, is on a trajectory to make a lot of money, if you don't have that question, it might linger. And then you gotta set that foundation and talk about it beforehand
Yeah,
and
and
get
it could
ahead of it.
bite you in the butt if you haven't had that conversation and you're in this committed marriage that legally you're bound with all that. And that's what's real, and it's so important to have that line of communication and be open and all that. I say that over and over, open communication in the marriage is key, and especially around finances.
Yeah, it all comes down to talking about it. And it doesn't have to be long, complicated talks. I think that's what detracts people from money conversations, is we only have them once every 6 months and they take 4 hours and each of you is left angry and frustrated. My wife and I talk about money once a month. It takes us about, I would say, an hour to go through an entire budget for the month and topics that we wanted to talk about. And I think that's something that's important to us, is that we save the topics for that meeting. Because we could so easily bring things up, and I tend to bring more things up because I'm the one that's watching closer on the finances. So then throughout the month, we found that I was bombarding my wife with, hey, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? When the decisions didn't need to be made in the moment. So we make a simple agenda. And I know people hear you say agendas and you think you're businessifying your marriage and things like that, but you're really not. I think it helps.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely helps that we have a list of the things we want to talk about concerning our money. If they're more pressing, of course, we'll bring them up. But we sit down for about an hour, hour and a half once a month, and we say, hey, here's our budget for next month. Here's how much we can spend. And then we say, here's the topics that are, we got to make some decisions on. Let's talk through them. And I think when you both go into a conversation knowing you're going to talk about money, you get a little less defensive. You're a little bit more open and vulnerable to say, hey, how is this actually going to impact me? Whereas if I were to just tell my wife, hey, we got to make this decision about my 401k by tomorrow morning, if I'm going to invest more money and therefore we're going to see less in our paychecks. Well, to her, maybe that's an issue with financial security. Maybe we're not making enough money, or maybe there was some things she was looking forward to purchasing that now we can't.
Right.
And if you spring that on people and you don't have a regular, consistent conversation, that's when things can blow up.
I think that's a great strategy. And my wife and I actually meet once a week. And then once a month or so, we do have the bigger mm-hmm. conversation. What I really liked about what you said was you save it until that opportunity,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, unless it's urgent, that, you know, you don't bring it up all the time, and it just kind of clears the air until mm-hmm. you're ready to talk about it. Both have your focus on that and can probably make a lot better decision and get through the conversation a lot better.
Yeah, it's a whole lot easier because you can save it. And then if there is some maybe pre-work, I guess, that needs to be done around a conversation, you can both take a moment and research. You're not saying, hey, we need to do this, and then your spouse is frantically trying to crunch the numbers because you sprung a pretty decent decision on each other or something like that. So you give yourself some time to say, here's how it'll impact us. You think through it, and then maybe another idea comes up because you're talking to a friend about it. And that's what I love about like having money talks often, is then you're asking like your circle of influence and your people around you
mm-hmm.
because you're waiting on that topic. So maybe you're able to bring better ideas to that monthly conversation and things like that, rather than just feeling like you're continually racing through these frantic money decisions that you're having to make instantly, because more often than not, it's going to be okay. Like I was talking to my friends the other day, it's like the only time where a money decision is so urgent is if the government wants money from you.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing. Everyone else can wait. Like
right.
A bank can wait. They're not going to take anything from you unless it's been a super long period of time and you're already going to know about it. Like things don't happen in an instant
mm-hmm.
in the financial world. I think so many places want us to think it is. So then we're going out and getting bad loans and things like that. We're taking on more debt because we feel like we have to do something instantly. Realize you have more time than you think, especially when it comes to financial decisions.
You know, and you can listen to podcasts like Money Talk, hosted by mm-hmm. Skylar Fleming.
Yeah, those will fill your ears with some good ideas. There's a lot of them out there.
Great. Well, Skylar, any last minute words of wisdom you'd like to lay on us before we wrap things up?
Go check out my podcast. That's a good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I've done it for a couple of years. My goal is to talk with normal everyday people to learn what they're doing so we can all get better with money together. But I would say a main foundational thing is just start having a money talk. My favorite thing to leave people with is if you're nervous about talking about money, talk about someone else's situation. Don't talk about yours.
Mm.
And that'll take the stress off of you. So let's say you're buried in credit card debt, right? You're feeling the weight of that. Maybe you don't want to tell your spouse because you know you overspent on a couple things. Well, go talk to a friend that you know and you trust, but don't bring up your specific situation. Maybe make one up, like just make up a different hard situation to kind of get through, oh, what would this actually be like? And then when you realize, oh, they don't actually care as much as you thought, or they're not as judgmental as you thought, then you can say, okay, here's the real situation. Like kind of ease yourself into it.
Yeah.
If you've never had a hard money talk, kind of fake it and then learn from that of how easy it'll honestly be. And yes, there may be some bad reactions and bad emotions that come up. Expect that, like, especially if you are hiding something or something like that. But I would say practice with some situation that's not your own. It makes it a whole lot easier to have that to get it started.
Yeah. So you're kind of testing the waters
mm-hmm.
and then getting an idea, lay of the land before you lay the bomb on her. Or her.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of ease into it and you say, hey, I want to talk about this situation that I saw online. And that's the fake one. And you say, what do you think about that? And maybe don't say you saw your situation online and kind of like try to hide your own thing as
right.
someone else's. But I think it's a way to kind of prime the pump so that you can open up your mind to saying, hey, yeah, I could actually expose or talk about this issue that we're going through.
Yeah, and even if it's a negative, response with your test, so to speak, at least you know that it's going to be a difficult conversation to have and approach it from a mature place and even supporting your spouse or partner and how they may react to this situation and kind of soften the blow, so to speak, when you go in to talk about it.
Yeah, because maybe you'd come out saying, wow, that this next one's gonna be explosive. So let's prep a little bit and maybe go somewhere that's outside of our normal home, because if it's gonna be bad, maybe you don't want kids around or something like that. So maybe you're saying, hey, let's go on a picnic. I have something I need to tell you about our financial situation, and maybe prep it a little bit differently than you would just launch into it. So I think a test can be really beneficial, especially if you're nervous to have a money talk.
All right. Well, that's some good advice there, Skylar. If someone wanted to get in touch with you other than the podcast directly for your financial coaching, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, my email's moneytalk@skylarfleming.com, website skylarfleming.com, all my stuff, the podcast contact info is all there. So yeah, skylarfleming.com, and that's one M in Fleming.
And I'm going to have that in the show notes
Of
so you
course.
can have a direct link to that.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you so much. This has been a blast.
Yeah, thank you, Skylar, and I wish you the best, and maybe we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thanks, man. And that will take care of business on this bonus episode of the Men on the Path to Love podcast, the Money Talk in Relationship, a conversation with a financial coach episode. Once again, thanks to my guest, financial coach and host of the podcast, Money Talk, Skylar Fleming. You can find Skylar's contact information and link to his podcast in the show notes. Now, remember, if you have any suggestions for topics for the podcast, have any issues in your relationship you need support with, you can reach me by going to my website, menonthepathtolove.com. You can get on my email list or schedule a free discovery call with me. Once again, that's at menonthepathtolove.com. And if you know someone you think might get something out of listening to this podcast, please share the link and share the love. And until next time, keep your heart open and stay on the path to love.